Officiating a sporting event can be a very stressful experience. I've had to do it at the amateur level a few times, and I know it was really stressful for me. Maybe you've done it too. And I think, well, we're going to find out here, of being a woman in a profession like that, that has been male-dominated for so many years, that there may be some extra stress involved with those folks. In the studio with me today, Kathy Cox. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you with us. Julie Volk. Julie, hello.
Hello, Larry. Thank you for having me today.
Well, it's great to have you both here. Kathy has 15 years of experience as an official for high school and college basketball. She's on the board for the Southern Wisconsin Officials Association. Julie has 25 years experience as a collegiate volleyball referee, president of the Professional Association of Volleyball Officials. She's also the coordinator of volleyball officials for Wisconsin Interscholastic Association Conferences, or WIAC, as most people call it. So we're going to talk with them about their experiences and as officials. Maybe talk about how you might become an official. They could use some more officials out there. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. What experiences have you had with female officials, for example? What questions do you have about the job or the training? Excuse me. Hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. 1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, Julie, we'll start with you. How did you get involved in officiating volleyball matches?
Yeah, thank you, Larry. My experience came as a player. I played tournaments as an adult, and our team needed a referee, and no one else wanted to do it. And so I got voted as a person to referee our matches. And a lot of those matches were at UW Parkside. And so I just continued on with that in other venues. But that's how I got my start, Larry.
Oh, well, Kathy, what about you?
I actually got my start when I was in college. I played at University of Wisconsin-Whitewater for a couple of years, and then through intramurals saw an opportunity to stay involved with the game and also make a few dollars, and went from intramurals to 4-H to high school. So I had some wonderful mentors in college who showed me the ropes, taught me how to do it, and I just really enjoyed it.
How has the game changed for you over the years?
The biggest advent for basketball is it went from a two-person crew to a three-person crew,
mm-hmm.
which has, I think, extended the career of officials as we get older. The game has gotten faster, but the three-person crew enables us to keep up with these athletes.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense. Do you think it leads to more fouls and more calling of fouls?
You know, I think what it leads to is just identifying different types of fouls that maybe were happening we weren't seeing, because now you have three people yeah. looking in your primary areas and you see things. And it actually cleans up the game, because as soon as players recognize that you're going to call those fouls, they stop doing that.
Yeah. So, Julie, what about you? How have things changed over the years for you when it comes to volleyball?
I would say that there have been a number of changes in the first. First is the development and growth of club volleyball. The players are playing all year round now. Back when I was high school age, basically, you played during the high school season. There was very little opportunity to play outside of the high school season. But now, volleyball players have opportunities to play club volleyball, such as through Badger Region Volleyball or other venues. And so they play, you know, as much as 9 months out of the year. So what that does is it develops the skills. The game has gotten a lot faster. There have been some rule changes over the years to speed up play. There's a lot more leniency on how the ball is played. So players can take the ball higher up with their hands, and it really speeds up the play. So a lot faster game for us in volleyball. And players are just so much more skilled than they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, they really. It's amazing for me to watch our my daughter's high school, Lakeside Lutheran, they were state champs a year ago at the high school level. And those watching them play and then watching UW-Madison's team, volleyball team, is it's really fast-paced and really exciting to watch.
Yeah, it sure is. And another thing that's new to our sport at the collegiate level, not at the high school level yet in volleyball, but we have a challenge review now, which is a video review of calls. Many of the listeners have probably seen that in professional sports, football, basketball, for example. But that's now come into volleyball. It's about 4 years in the sport. And it's gotten so fast to be able to see those little touches that the players have has become much more challenging. So it's an added feature to the sport of volleyball.
You know, I was talking with my producer, Jill, which we often do before the show, and I said, I wonder, just to me, watching, I watch a lot of basketball, and I've watched a lot of volleyball, too, but it seems to me that the crowd is more likely to get upset with the basketball officials than they do the volleyball officials. Is that your experience? Well, you probably don't watch each other.
So, Larry, this is Julie. I'll take a stab at that. One of the issues that we have in our sport, particularly at the club youth level, is sportsmanship. And particularly with new officials, in the youth level where the fans are very close to the playing venue, and the new officials don't have the confidence of an experienced official, when the fans get upset and start yelling and providing their feedback on calls they think might be missed, that is a struggle at the youth level for the sport of volleyball. As far as a comparison, I have watched a few women's collegiate basketball games. I don't know the rules like Kathy does, I'm sure. But there were some upset fans, I'll say. But I didn't have an opinion one way or the other on that.
What do you think, Kathy?
Well, I'll tell you what I experienced. Because as a basketball official, you're moving up and down the court.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in the center position, you're right on the sideline. And some of these gymnasiums are very tight. They don't have a lot of space around the perimeter of the court. So I'm literally a foot away from a fan who's in the first row.
Oh.
And I have to be careful sometimes. I've been tripped, not purposefully,
yeah.
Accidentally. You're just so much closer, and as you're moving, it gives them an opportunity to get in your ear, and say things. So you just have to ignore that and move on and not let that affect you.
Yeah. Does that happen to you, too, Jill? Do people try and get in your ear?
They absolutely do. they like to help us officiate, and I agree with Kathy. You really just have to learn to block that out and just focus on your task as a referee, and that's something that you gain with experience. And for the youth officials, that's a challenge with the parents getting involved and, expressing concerns about calls. But it's something that you have to learn as a skill if you ultimately want to continue to officiate.
And reminds me to talk with you about experience and how you learned and how, what does it take to become an official these days? And maybe, Kathy, you can talk about basketball first.
Well, from the high school perspective, you just register with the WIAA. It's simple. You can go to their website, wiaawi.org. And you can just fill out the application to become an official. There's a minimal fee that you have to pay. Then you have to take a rules test that's online and then watch a video and become a licensed official. Then you just connect with people that you know through networking, join an association, go to a clinic, and get assigned games from a commissioner. There are games just about every night, every weekend, that you can work from the youth level all the way up through varsity high school.
Yeah, there are the number of games that go on. I'm trying to think of the name of the sports center at Wisconsin Dells.
The Jag?
Just
a game?
Just a game, yeah, mm-hmm. Just a game, where there at any one time there are how many possible games going on? What, at least 8 or 10, and they're going all day long.
Yep.
And there's officials for every single one of those games.
And oftentimes they'll work 3, 4, 5 games in a day, the same officiating crew.
Yeah, it's probably good exercise.
It's really good exercise. Yeah.
And is the same true for volleyball?
So there's a number of different ways to register. For high school, as Kathy mentioned, you register with the WIA, and it's a similar process for all their sports where you register, you take a test, you attend a rules clinic. But there's also additional options in volleyball. For the youth level, the club volleyball that I mentioned, Badger Volleyball is the USA Volleyball region here where folks that want to get started, it's a great place. There's games starting as young as 10 years old. And so for new officials, it's a great place to start. And then on the collegiate side, as you mentioned, I'm the president of the Professional Association of Volleyball Officials. And the website to join there is pavo.org.
Pavo.org.
Correct.
And that, I assume, at the collegiate level, you probably need to come with some years of experience.
Experience is much preferred. Most of the officials come from either the high school ranks or the club volleyball ranks. But there's also the same requirements as far as a registration fee to join a clinic. And then there's training options that the association offers that are recommended for officials to learn their craft and learn the skills.
Talking today with Julie Volk and Kathy Cox. Julie is a collegiate volleyball referee, president of the, as she said, of the Professional Association of Volleyball Officials, coordinates volleyball officials for the WEAC. Kathy, official for high school and used to ref college as well, basketball. She's on the board of the Southern Wisconsin Officials Association. So we're going to talk with them some more. We'll get into a bit more about why there's a shortage of officials these days, and talk about women as officials and their experiences. And we'll do that right after we take a look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at sports officiating with our two guests, both women officials. Julie Volk is a collegiate volleyball referee, president of the Professional Association of Volleyball Coaches. She also coordinates coordinator of volleyball officials for WEAC, Wisconsin Interscholastic Association Conference. Kathy Cox, an official for high school and used to ref college basketball as well. She's on the board of the Southern Wisconsin Officials Association. So are you a sports official? Maybe you'd like to become one, or maybe at least interested in taking a look at what's involved with it. I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. Has it changed for you over the years? Maybe you are already an official. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call here. Jim in La Crosse has been waiting a bit. Jim, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
This is for the volleyball ref. I've been noticing on college games that I watch on TV, it seems like when the opposing team on the home court is serving, that the noise and the heckling, it seems like it's some games are really kind of seem like they're kind of out of control. And I've even seen where they've had a little snare drum right in the first seat. And, it could be further than the TV looks, but when you see it on TV, it looks, really close, and they kind of time their drum roll to the, when the swing. And so I was just kind of curious about that. How much do they allow?
Oh, it is. Do you have any control over that kind of noise situation, Julie, I guess?
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Thanks for the question, Jim. So in collegiate volleyball, there are rules in place regarding noise by fans or by the a band or any kind of music. And the fans aren't allowed to use artificial noisemakers. So they can yell, they can scream, they can wave their arms, but they can't blow a whistle or play an instrument. If there's a band there at the event, the band has to stop playing once the referee beckons for serve. So you might hear a lot of noise. You mentioned a snare drum up until the serve, but once the ball's in play, then that wouldn't be allowed.
And, you know, you see it in basketball, too, especially when somebody on the opposing team is shooting a free throw, I think.
You do see that from the fans, and there's no specific rule about the noise level. The WIA has tried to institute some guidelines to prevent the student section from chanting certain things as good sportsmanship. There are rules about, like what Julie said in volleyball, that you can and cannot play music during certain instances of the game. But as far as the fans, it's very difficult to control. Then we have to get the game administration involved if it gets out of hand.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Jim. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I notice, you know, I have season tickets for a number of different sports, and so I see a lot of them. And they're pretty good about the music stopping or, you know, the noise stopping. I know it stops for volleyball. And I think the one time in basketball, you see a lot of people with waving their hands or are hollering when opposing teams are shooting free throws. But that's probably about it.
That does happen a lot. And as I say, yeah, as an official, there's nothing I can do to stop that. If
no.
it gets out of hand, I just may bring the game administrator's attention to it.
So, you, Kathy, I'll turn to you again. You officiated for 10 years.
Right.
And then you took off to raise a family.
Well, I had children, and I officiated through having my first child. And it was pretty grueling doing both high school and college at the time, lots of traveling. I was probably working 5 nights a week. On top, you have to keep in mind that officiating is not, for me, it was not a full-time job. I had a full-time job in addition to working all these games. And so I rearranged my schedule so I'd work from 7 a.m. to 3:30 so that I could travel to the games and work, you know, a 7 o'clock game and then get home at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night and rinse and repeat. So it was challenging with a child. And by the time I had my second, I said, all right, I'm either going to be a full-time mom, although still work my job, or be a full-time official, and I choose to stay home with my children and give up officiating at the time.
But then you came back.
Yeah, now they're grown and gone, and became an empty nester and thought, hey, this is a great opportunity to get back into officiating. I wasn't sure if I would still be good enough at it or if the game had passed me by then, but I had a dear friend who said, Kathy, let's get back into officiating. I'll help you. And he was a wonderful mentor, Doug Stampley, is a dear friend who got me back into it. And this is my sixth year now back into it. And it's been wonderful. So it's been really great.
So here we are with a big shortage of officials. Well, first let me ask you, as women officials, do you know, did you have to put up with anything because you were women officials? You were officials who happened to be women? Let's put it that way. Julie, go to you first.
Yeah, you know, I guess I didn't recognize that, but it's just there are definitely more male officials than there are female officials. And with I officiate a sport that's predominantly played by females at this point. And there are a number of women officials, but there are time demands that are required. So as life changes and, you know, maybe you're involved with your job, maybe your family or your home, that the training and the clinics and keeping up with the schedule can become very trying and very difficult to maintain a certain level. So for me personally, I haven't taken a break from officiating, but I have scaled back on certain things that I do simply to meet the time demands with trying to combine everything, life, job, and officiating.
And I wonder if that's not, and Kathy, you were talking about this too, the demands of time. Is that a reason why we are seeing the need for more officials than we have?
Well, I think that's one of the big reasons although I suppose it depends on how far you want to take the career of officiating.
Yeah.
Some people just want to work games on a weekend, and that's fine. That doesn't take that much time. But for me, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in and I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to be the best that I can be. And it was a huge time commitment. I mean, yeah. It still is. I work over 40 games a season, and it's a lot of time.
There's only 52 weeks in the year.
Well, you know, on an average week, it's probably 2 to 3, sometimes 4 if we have makeups, because we get with basketball cancellation because of the weather quite often. So, as they say, working a full-time job in addition to then I go work a basketball game. I'm going to work one tonight. You know, from the time you leave and the time you get home, it's an additional 5-6 hours sometimes on top of a full-time job.
So that what about from your perspective, Julie?
So volleyball has really exploded. It has become one of the most popular sports for girls, and we've seen an explosion at the youth level in particular. As I mentioned earlier, there are now opportunities for kids to start playing volleyball 8, 9, 10 years old that didn't exist 20 years ago. And so there's been an explosion of club volleyball, and there have been high school programs that have been added and opportunities at the collegiate level for volleyball players. So there's just so many more games that need officials, and that creates a supply-demand dilemma, a little bit of a shortage. And Larry, you did talk about, you know, there seems to be a shortage. Well, there is. It's not just volleyball. It's not just basketball, the sports that we're talking about here today. But there's a shortage of officials across sports in general. And I'm familiar with a survey that NASO did. NASO is the National Association of Sports Officials. They're actually located in Racine, Wisconsin. And they surveyed officials to find out a lot of things about them. And one of them is, you know, what are the impediments for new officials? And sportsmanship is one of the highest items on that list. And we talked earlier about the fans, you know, getting involved and expressing their disappointment. And normally that's through yelling and loud. And for new officials that still aren't confident in the rules, that makes it challenging. And so a lot of officials don't stay more than a year or two because they just don't overcome the sportsmanship issue. And sometimes it also is with the coaching as well, particularly at the youth level. I think it's much more contained at the collegiate levels, but it's something that our sport needs to deal with. There's just a need for officials, and sportsmanship is definitely high on the list of a concern in sports officiating.
Daniel emailed from Iowa and wonders, he says one of the biggest issues they have is that maybe exist is violence or threats of violence against refs. He wonders if female refs suffer fewer threats than male refs. You probably have no way of knowing that, but
I'll take a crack at that, Larry. So the environment in youth sports, it's not a situation where you typically have event management. The fans are right around the side of the court. A typical volleyball tournament at a facility in Wisconsin might have 6 or 8 courts, and the fans are all sitting courtside. And over the years of being in volleyball, some of my colleagues have expressed concerns about parents coming up to them that were not pleased with the calls, and there's really no barrier to the parents coming up to the officials. I actually had a situation a couple times in my career. I no longer have the time to officiate at the high school level, but I had a parent follow me to my car one day, and I made it a policy I don't talk to fans. As it turned out, this parent wanted to come up and give me a positive comment for giving a yellow card to a player who was disrespectful during a match. But I had no idea what was coming. And it's just something that I feel like in the high school level and the collegiate level, there's more protection for officials just simply with physical barriers and not having access to officials. But it's out there, and it's something that is in the back of my mind that's a possibility, at least.
You know, that's interesting, Julie, that you say that, because I had a similar experience. I only officiate high school varsity contests, boys and girls. And so I typically work with the same crew. And we have, a policy that we, the three of us, leave together. We go together and we leave together. We never separate, just for that very reason. And we had a game last year where we were coming out of the locker room at the end of the game, and there was a parent that was milling around, kind of waiting, and I saw him start to approach us. And this was at a boys' varsity game. And I was with another female and a male on my crew, and I thought, uh-oh, what's this person going to say to us? And he approached us and said, I just want to let you know that was the best officiated game I have ever seen. And I let out a collective sigh like, oh, my gosh, I'm really glad that, because a year or two ago there was an official in our association that was assaulted by a coach after the game in a back tunnel.
Oh, man. And
so
That's the negative side. I want to talk some more about the positive aspects of this as well, but let's get CJ from Racine on board to see what's on CJ's mind. Hi. Thank you for calling, CJ.
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I'm an official for volleyball for high school in Racine, Wisconsin, but I'm also a coach. And one of the things that I've noticed in the discussion on how to reduce loss of officials and issues that we have in-game is adapting the rules so that there's less contentious calls, like for volleyball, removing the double call might remove a lot of the arguments and fights that we see and the anger that we see from coaching and as well as from the fans. So what do you think about adapting rules to address some of these issues?
Oh, interesting. Well, Julie, let's go. Since he mentioned volleyball, we'll start with you.
Sure, Larry. So CJ, I think that's a really great question. The rules committee that look at the rules for volleyball, I think over time have actually tried to reduce the number of decisions that referees need to make to blow the whistle until the play comes to a natural end. So a natural end would be the ball landing in or out typically. So the rules have been relaxed already to allow more ball handling and allow more freedom for the players. There still is the rule that you can't hit the ball a double hit.
Yeah.
But there continues to be debate about how much latitude to allow the players on playing the ball. And over time, though, I think we've seen a reduction in the referees needing to interject as we've allowed a lot more freedom for the players to use their power and keep the referees from blowing the whistle on exactly how they do that.
Hmm. Kathy, from your perspective, anything there in basketball?
Sure. What we see with the rules is that they oftentimes will get implemented maybe at the NBA level, and then there's an adaption by the college level, and then it eventually trickles down to the high school level. So you might see that exposure about it, because the biggest thing is you can have the rules, but it's the education and the awareness of the fans or the coaches, because when the coaches are yelling at me about a rule that doesn't exist or it's the wrong application of the rule, that's when it's more problematic.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder at the NBA level if they're ever going to do anything about traveling. Oh, I hope that never makes its way all the way down to the grade school levels. CJ, thanks a lot. Tim in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering about the job of trying to recruit new, younger people into the refereeing world. I know I was a referee for over 15 years, doing both high school and college, and then recreational refereeing in soccer. And I've seen so many younger, good kids that they'll referee maybe 1-2 years, and it's just too tough. They're being harassed by fans, and I think your guests know that, you know, you hear a lot, you can't have revenues, but on the other hand, how to bring these young kids into the profession.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on bringing younger folks into the profession? Julie, let me go start with you.
Larry, great. I'm really glad we have this question from Tim. I want to talk about some of the positives of officiating and getting our youth involved. So there's a couple programs right here in Wisconsin that I'm involved in. First one is for Badger Region Volleyball, for youth sports, and the focus is on getting players involved once they reach the age of 16, and also adults, simply to address the shortage. But players are the ones who know the game the best. They have a feel for the game. They've played the game. And we have programs in place to provide training, mentoring, so that the youth will work with a experienced referee, so that they just don't get sent to a game by themselves to try to figure things out. And so if anybody listening might be interested in that, the website is badgervolleyball.org. And you can get information if you go to the officials page on becoming an official. The other program that I wanted to talk about is for those of you that are athletes. When you finish your high school career or when you finish your collegiate career, think about officiating. I serve as the coordinator of officials of volleyball for the WIAC, and we have a program in place called Stay in the Game. And every coordinator is sending a representative, either themselves or some, hopefully a former athlete, to go talk to every sports program this year, to talk to the student athletes about getting into officiating after they graduate. And it's a great way to stay in the game. Very few of us can have a full-time career officiating. It's a part-time avocation, but there's a lot of flexibility with hours that you can do it. Certainly, there's a commitment to training and joining an organization and taking the appropriate examinations. There's also usually an investment for uniform and equipment to get started. But once you get started, I've been doing it for over 25 years, and I love it. It's a great way to stay involved in the sport, and so I definitely encourage those of you that are still playing, think about it as another option when you are finished playing.
So badgervolleyball.org or Stay in the Game?
The WIC website, you can check that as well. And we'll be reaching out specifically to the athletes.
Excellent. Kathy, on the basketball side.
I know that for our local association, the Southern Wisconsin Officials Association, the acronym is SWOA. Our website is swoa.info.
SWOA.info?
Correct. And we have a mentorship program to bring young officials in. We allow guests to come to our meetings for free if you're a young official just wanting to get into it. We reach out to the athletic directors, coaches within the area, kind of the greater Madison area, because we want to encourage those athletes to get involved with officiating either while they're in a sport, in a different sport than they're playing, or after they finish their playing career. We also reach out to athletic directors in the community so that they can present that information to anyone who wants to get involved. I think that they're going to have more success and want to stay in the game if they have positive experiences, they have mentorship, they have that support that will help them, and they'll stay in the game longer.
And I will mention that if you are the, as you listen to this, and you're the parent of an athlete, when you go to those events, be nice to the officials and teach your son or your daughter respect as well, because you know what? You need those folks out there to make sure that there's a game for your son or your daughter to play and for you to enjoy. And on that note, boy, the time flew here. Thank you both very much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. You're doing a wonderful job, and I hope we have a chance to talk again. Thank you both.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Kathy Cox, an official. She's on the board for the Southern Wisconsin Officials Association. Julie Volk is also a president of the Professional Association of Volleyball Officials and coordinator of volleyball officials for WEAC. It's great to have both of them with us today. Hey, if you've been thinking about it, or even if you've never thought about it, but maybe now you're interested, give it a try. Give it a try. Go to your local community or go online to the places we were just talking about. And thank you all for listening. Tomorrow we'll talk fall phenology with Stan Temple and take a look at what's going on in the world of forestry on our weekly environmental programming. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.